looks for faith as the result of his teaching. And that certainly is indicated by the question that he asks. He says, "Do ye now believe?" The end of all preaching, or the result of all preaching, is consummated in either you believe it or you don't believe it. That's the result of preaching. When I preach here from time to time, the end result is that some believes and some don't believe. Now, I find that over in the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. I remember the Apostle Paul had something to say about this along this line. I think this is the result of preaching, and our Lord seems to indicate that when he says, "Do you now believe?" Look at the 28th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 23 and listen to what was being said to these people. "And when they had appointed him a day," that's the Apostle Paul, "they gave him a day, set aside a day whereby he might do something. And there came many to him into his lodging." Many people came to where Paul was living at this particular time, "to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from first light until the end of the day, from morning till evening. He preached unto them Jesus." You remember the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the scriptures, and Philip joined himself to this Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I except some man teach me?" And Philip turned to the self same place that this fellow was reading, which was the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and did what? And he preached unto him Jesus. And the result was, this fellow believed. Well, here the Apostle Paul preaches unto these people who had come to him at this appointed time. He preached to them concerning the Lord Jesus Christ out of what Moses had to say and out of what the prophets had to say. And he did so from morning till evening. And verse 24 says, "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." So I think that I can safely say here this morning that the end result of all preaching is that some believes and some believes not. And our Lord here looks for faith as the result of his teaching. And he says, "Do you now believe?" Well, ask the question, why? Why did he say, "Do you now believe?" Well, I don't know that I know the answer to that question as the Lord had in mind, but the answer to the question from my own heart would go something like this. Do you now believe? Why? Well, for this reason. Anything short of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ leaves a man short of salvation. Do you now believe concerning me? They said, "We believe that thou comest forth from God." He's talking about himself. And so they say, "We believe that thou camest from God." Why is it essential that we must believe in him whom God has sent? Because anything short of believing in Him whom God has sent does not result in eternal salvation. So it's imperative then that every one of us here this morning believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, we'll fall short of eternal salvation. The Philippian jailer, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the apostles immediately said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." So anything short of believing will leave us short of eternal salvation. There's got to be a believing in the heart of what He is and who He is and what He does. Who He done it for. That's got to be. I'm talking about a believing in the heart, along certainly with an intellectual belief coupled with it. Well, do you now believe? Let me ask the question to myself as well as you. You've heard many sermons. You've heard a whole lot of preaching over the years. Do you now believe? Some of you is getting older. Your hair's getting gray. And the gospel is very familiar to your ears. Do you now believe? That's what our Lord said. Do you now believe? So, according to your answer to this question, do you now believe? According to the answer to this question, we may, I believe, decide as to our true condition before God. Do you now believe? Some believed and some believed not. Those that believed are and were eternally saved, and those that believe not will be, unless God intervenes, will be eternally damned. To the apostles here, now that's primarily who he's talking to, is the apostles. 11 of them, I guess. Maybe all 12 of them. But he's talking to some apostles here. 12 of them, I believe, at this particular time. He, in other words, says there's 3 years I've been teaching and preaching and working miracles in your midst. Have you at last come to a little faith? Do you now believe, he says? I've been with you day and night, preaching concerning everything that is important to the well-being and welfare of your eternal souls. Do you now believe? Raised men from the dead, and you've been eyewitnesses to this. Fed thousands and thousands and thousands of people, a couple of small loaves of bread and a few fishes. I've walked on the water. I've quelled the storms. I've given sight to blind men. I've unstopped deaf ears. I've cured the lepers. I've preached day and night for 3 years and worked mighty wonders in your midst. Do ye now believe? Do you believe? Well, have you at last come to a little faith? Well, there's something else that is said here apart from that too, which I believe must be taken into consideration if we're to appreciate these three or four verses that I read to you. And that's this. He reminds them of another thing. In that their faith was a long time coming, he reminds them it might be very quick in leaving them. Notice what he says in verse 32 now. Now keep in mind, keep this in mind. Their faith was a long time coming, and it may be very short in its departure. It may leave very quickly now. Behold, he said, the hour cometh, yea, or yes, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. That is, a little trouble might come your way, or some unseen difficulty might occur. And when it does, I want to know, where's your faith? Some things might happen here that you'll not fully understand. Things that will go contrary to your persuasion. And where will be your faith then? Now, you know that that's true in our lives, and we've seen it and experienced it. Some of us personally, and others have seen it experienced in the life of others. A little bit of trouble comes, unseen difficulties, and people wilt like flowers in the heat of the sun and walk with Him no more. A little persecution, a little idle talk from some unbeliever, a little sarcasm is manifested from someone, and where's your faith? Where's your faith? Someone does not receive the proper or maybe the recognition that he or she thinks they ought to receive, and say, well, I'll take my game and go someplace else. I don't have to stay here. Where is your faith? Well, I've come to this conclusion that you and I have no reason whatsoever to brag on our faith. If we have any faith whatsoever, if we have a little faith, we got to realize that it took a long time for it to come. And when it did come, it came because it was a gift of God. It wasn't something that sprang up within us from something that we are or something that we have done. You got to remember, brethren, that this faith that we have was a long time coming to us. And you got to remember how soon it might leave. That's what he's telling these disciples here. I don't think they paid attention, do you? I don't think they paid close attention to what he was saying. I don't know that you and I pay too much attention to what's being said from the Bible to our hearts in regard to this faith. Long time coming, it might leave just as a whole lot quicker than what it came. He told this to these 12 apostles here. Do you now believe? Why, he said, the hour comes, and he says, right, it's on us right now, and ye shall be scattered. In light of this, do you still believe? Oh, yes, we believe. We believe. Do you believe? Yes, we believe. I don't think they listened too close to what our Lord Jesus Christ had to say. You remember when, after this, our Lord said, I must needs go to Jerusalem, and he said, there I'll be crucified and killed. I'll be beaten with many stripes. And Peter immediately, and Peter was not by himself because the scriptures say that all of them said the same thing. Peter said, though all men be offended because of thee, yet I will not deny thee. If everybody's offended, if everybody on the top side of God's green earth is offended, Peter said, if these here are offended because of thee, yet I'll never be offended because of thee.
Not me.
I'll not be offended. I'll not be scattered. I'll not depart from you. I'll not desert you. I am a tried and true friend. That's who I am. I don't think Peter was listening very close to you. I don't think that there's a whole lot of people in so-called Christianity, including myself, listens too close. Well, these apostles say, though you die, I'll die with you. That's what they said. Yet I'll not deny you. If it comes to the place that you really die, Peter and those 11 with him, they said, we'll die with you before we'll deny you. We'll be identified with you. You don't have to worry about that. That's no problem. We'll be identified. We'll not deny you. Well, we might say here this morning as we look out and look over and think about one another and even think about some who are not with us, we might say that there's no man among us who will ever be a traitor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will ever deny the Lord Jesus. We might say as we think of one another and look in one another's faces here this morning, there'll never be one here that'll ever grow weary and tired of the way. There'll never be one here who will ever grow cold in heart. Well, if we would say that, it'd only be self-flattering, because there's no truth to it. Because what others have done, you and I are capable of doing the same thing. If we think that we are not capable of doing what these disciples did, it's our pride and our pride alone that makes us think that, because we have the capability. Others might desert the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'll never do it. Others might walk out, but I'll never do it. Watch out now. Hold on. Take heed how you stand, lest you also fall. Watch out. You're getting on shaky ground now when you say what you do, what you will do, and what you won't do. Best, we say, by the grace of God, Lord, help me, hold me, keep me, lest I fall. We need to learn how frail we are, don't we? We're frail. We're weak as water. Weak as water. We couldn't keep ourselves in the love of God for a minute if it was not for the grace of God and the Spirit of God and the gospel of redeeming grace. We couldn't keep ourselves built up in the most holy faith. If God would be pleased to leave us or withdraw His hand from us and His presence from us and His providential grace from us that's given to us in these various incidents and trials and troubles that come our way, we'd deny Him just as quick as Peter and James and John and Philip and all the rest of the disciples did. Just as what they're capable of doing or what they've done, we're capable of doing. We've got the potential, the capability. We're frail. We're weak. We're insignificant and insufficient in ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. If we're kept, we're kept by God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to continually cry out unto God, hold thou me up and I shall be saved. We need to say, Lord, keep me, I cannot keep myself. We need constantly as we pray. We need constantly as we walk and talk and fellowship with God in Jesus Christ during the course of the day, we need to constantly breathe out this prayer. Lord, keep me from falling. I'm not talking about falling in the sense of apostasy. There's other ways to fall apart from apostasy. I don't believe that a believer ever apostatizes completely. I believe a believer falls, though. He can fall into a known sin. He can fall into a practice which is contrary to the Scriptures. He can fall into having a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit. He can fall that way. Lord, we need to pray constantly. Lord, keep me from falling. I'm capable of falling. Lord, my brother fell over there. God, have mercy on him. Keep me from doing the same thing. We can do the same thing. I've heard people say, well, I thought that man was a Christian, or I thought that person was a Christian because of some particular act that they committed or something that they done. I can't think they're a Christian. I can't think they're a Christian. Well, if we was placed where they were placed, under the same circumstance and the same condition, in their shoes, in the same frame of mind, in all probability we'd have done the same thing that they did. What they're capable of doing, we're capable of doing. And what they've done, we have the capability to do. We need to learn how frail we are. We're frail. We're weak. We can't keep ourselves for a minute. Well, let's look at this then here this morning. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. I want you to notice here this morning, number one, I want you to notice the Lord's trial. The trial that was put upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice it because you may have one just like it sometime. You may have a trial just exactly like the trial that the Lord Jesus Christ had here. What was His trial? His trial was that He was left alone. He was left alone, see? He said, do you now believe? Has faith finally come? Do you now believe? Well, He said, watch out. The hour's come. He said, it now is, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. We'll never leave you alone. Well, He was left alone. These disciples that gathered around Him, to whom He was teaching, preaching, and speaking to, they are sure that they can withstand any fire or any attack from the devil or any other force. They can withstand it. They can endure whatever fight may come their way. They're sure that they'll be victors in this. They'll endure to the end. Well, they'll not forsake Him. That's what they're saying. Yet, the record clearly shows that not a single solitary one of these disciples to whom He's speaking to here, when He says, do you now believe, when this trial and trouble and tribulation falls upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they all left Him alone, every one of them. Every single solitary one of them. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He told His three choices, closest friends and apostles who were His bodyguards, Peter, James, and John. He said, tarry ye here and watch with me and pray while I go yonder to the garden. And while He was at the garden, agonizing, these fellows went to sleep. They went to sleep. He came back three times. There they were. He said, couldn't you watch with me for just 1 hour? Watch with me for an hour. Not a month, not a year, but for an hour. Lord, all may deny Thee, but we'll never deny You. You remember now how frail you are. You remember what thee's done. You have the capability of doing the same thing. In the garden, these three denied him. Before Pilate and before Herod, there was none there to defend him. There was not one voice. There was a multitude of people there at the trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, so called. There was hundreds of people there. And there was not one voice lifted up in defense of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there alone. He said, "Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." Is that possible? Well, it turned out that way. At Herod court and Pilate's court, there was not one voice that would be lifted up in the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one. Not one. I don't think that it was necessarily hypocrisy on the part of these apostles when they said, "We'll do this and that and so forth, though all men forsake you, yet we'll never deny you, and we'll be found faithful, and when it's time to be counted, why, we'll stand up." I think that they believed that when they said it. I don't think that it was just hypocrisy on their part. I think even when Peter denied our Lord Jesus Christ, when he looked him into the face and they said to him, they said, "You know this." He said, "I never knew him. I don't know him. I don't know who he is. Never laid eyes on the fellow before. He's a stranger as far as I'm concerned." And he said, "You say that I'm one of them? It must be. It has to be a case of mistaken identity, because I don't know this fellow. I don't know him." I think, brethren, even when Peter denied our Lord Jesus Christ, yet there was a love in Peter's heart for his master. How that can be, I can't explain it, but I believe there were. You remember over in the, I think in the last, maybe in the last chapter of this book, let me look real quick. Listen, in the last chapter, 21st chapter of the book of John. So when they had dined, 15th verse, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that I love thee." Then look down verse 17. The third time, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest. Thou knowest." You know, though it does not appear outwardly, visibly to me or to men, it doesn't appear that I love you. But you who know all things, who try the hearts of all men, who have the reins of all men in your hands, you know, thou knowest that I love thee. Huh? Even when he denied. I was left alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ was left alone. I said, this was his trial. And I said, for you and I to look at it, because you might have the same trial that our Lord Jesus Christ had. You might be left alone one of these days. You might be left alone by yourself. Well, you said, well, John didn't deny him. John, the beloved apostle who laid his head on the breast of our Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't deny him. Yes, he did. It says every man left him, if you'll read that verse. it says that ye shall be scattered every man to his own. Every man. Not every man except John or every man except somebody else, but every man to his own. And shall leave me alone. And I'll have to confront my accusers by myself. All of you who are my friends, or you say you're my friends, you'll leave me alone. Do you now believe? Yeah, Lord, we believe. We believe that you came from God. We believe that. We believe that you know all things. Do you believe? Well, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's going to be a strange, fiery trial here come upon us. And he said, every man's gonna seek his own and gonna leave me alone. Though I die, some of them said, I'll not leave you alone. Well, I've read these narratives that speak of the trials of our Lord Jesus Christ, these mock trials, and I found for a surety that there's not a single witness bearing his favor. Not one. There was not some crippled man who had been restored to physical health, or a blind man who had got his sight back. There wasn't any a single solitary soul that ever crawled in that place or squeezed in that place and held up his hand and said, "Now wait a minute, though all men accuse this man, if I'm only one voice, I rise up to defend the Lord Jesus Christ." Not a single solitary witness in his favor. And he said that every man has gone to his own. What did he mean there? Every man has gone to his own. In my Bible, there's a letter or a numeral 3 behind that expression. And you find that 3 over in your center reference column, and it says this. It says that what this means in the original writing, every man to his own, it means or his own home. Every man went to his own home. That's what it meant. Why he said, "Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own." That is, every man's going to look out for himself. Every man, look out for yourself here now. That's what they say sometimes, you know, with some of the crooks and the bank robbers and Jesse James and his gang and so forth. They say, "Well, the posse's after us. The posse's after us. It doesn't look like we can stay in one bunch. Let's just split out, every man on his own. Every man on his own." And that's what he says here. He said that every man to his own. Every man to his own house. To his own house. Why to his own house? That he might find some comfort and security in his own house. At least he'll have his family there. At least he'll have his wife and his children, and maybe his father and his mother, and maybe some of his kinsmen will come in and kind of protect him and comfort him. Every man to his own house. Not a single solitary witness there in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ or to defend the Lord Jesus. Every man to his own. What's that mean? It means every man to his own house. It means to preserve his own life. Save his own skin. That's what it means. It means they was going to depart from the Lord Jesus Christ and refuse to be with him by identification in order to go to their own home, in order to save their own skins. Going to save our necks. We're going to screen our character. Going to preserve our character. That's just exactly what our Lord's talking about when he says, if any man will lose his life, he'll keep his life. He'll gain his life if he'll lose it. But if he'll save his life, he'll lose his life. That's what it means. And there's a whole lot of people that are trying to save their life. That is, they're trying to save their character. They don't want to be identified with this doctrine or that, even though they believe that this doctrine is true.
even though they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, and they believe that this doctrine's true. But they say, now wait a minute, I don't want to go too far because I'll be identified, and I don't want to be identified. Well, you know what they're doing? They're saving their life. They're screening their character. They don't want to be identified. But little do they know, when they save their life, they're losing their life. And Jesus said, whosoever will lose his life for my sake will save his life or gain his life. That's what these fellows was doing. Every man to his own. To preserve his own life. Save his own character. Remember he said, my hour is not yet come. Time and time again. He said, my hour is not yet. They sought to kill him, and he would disappear from their midst and say, my hour is not yet come. Well, I want you to remember now that when this took place, when every man to his own home to preserve his own life, to preserve his own character, to save his own skin, when this happened, it was when that special hour was come. When our Lord said, my hour is not yet come, it's come now. It's come now. This special hour was come. And it was then that they left him. When the special hour and the special need was come, they left him. You see, they didn't... Or when he didn't need their friendship, they were his loyal followers. But when he needed them, when there was a tight place, when they was in a squeeze or in a bind here, and he needed them, humanly speaking, he needed them for comfort by way of identification. He needed them. But they wasn't to be found. They wasn't to be found. Where are they now? These that said up here in verse 30, we believe that thou camest forth from God. These that said with one voice in unison, though all deny thee, all be offended because of thee, yet will not be offended. Where are they now? Well, they're like the green leaves of summer. When the wintry blast of winter has come forth, they're gone. That's where they're gone. All of them. They left him. And I want to tell you this now. Their leaving him was a violation of an agreement. Was a violation of a bond, of a pledge that they'd made. These that left him were pledged to stand with him. They were his choice friends. These. They were those that he called unto himself from the fishing boats. They were fishermen. And they heard him. And he called them. And they willingly dropped their nets and left their ships. And gave up all and pledged themselves to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he called them his friends, his choice friends. He made them his disciples. They were the chief men of his new kingdom. These were the men that he said that he would seat upon the throne. And they would judge the 12 tribes of Israel. These were the men to whom he was talking to. And these were the men that were nowhere to be found when that special need in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested at that trial. As he underwent trials and troubles and difficulties, they were not to be found. Where were they? They went to their homes. We're not going to go that way. We're interested in this thing, but we're not interested that much. Oh, no. These men were bound to the Lord Jesus Christ like no other men were ever bound to him. You see, he expected some gratitude from them, I'm sure, humanly speaking. Now, he knew, though, as God manifest in the flesh, he knew what they were going to do. He knew their frailty. But as a man, at human nature, he expected them to stand with him. They were bound to him. They're pledged to him. They're his choicest friends. He expected them to be there, be at his beckon, at his call. They left him alone. Which leads me to say this. Don't expect gratitude from your fellow man. Don't expect any. You probably won't get it, so don't expect it. If you get it, it'll be a scarce thing. And I'll tell you this. The more you do for people, the more you do, the less you'll get in return. So, if you're going to do anything, in order to get something, you're wasting your time. Don't do it. Don't do it, because you're not going to get anything. And it doesn't make any difference what your motive is in doing it. Even if your motive is for the glory of God in Christ Jesus, you're not going to get much in return from your fellow man. That's just the way it is. So learn that right now. If you can remember that, it'll help you. Because sometimes you do things for people and you expect them to, you know, to make some sort of a response to it. Whether it be a thank you or whether it be in some other form. But it's rare in coming. It's a scarce thing. The more you do for people, the less you receive in return. Our Lord found that out, although he knew it. Well, here he was now, left alone, to be bound, to be beaten, to be denied, and to be crucified by himself with not a single solitary voice to speak up in his behalf. Left alone, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, are you a believer this morning? Are you really a believer? Do you really believe? Do you really trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and all of your soul? Do you really? If I was to say this morning, those that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, would you stand? Would you jump to your feet? Would you immediately say, yes, I'm a believer? Well, if that be the case, I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask to nod your head or hold your hand up. I'm not going to ask you. I'm just asking you, are you a believer? Are you a true, blood-bought, genuine believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you? Well, then, if you are, what I'm saying is, don't you desert him. That's what I'm saying. Don't desert him. Don't abandon ship. Stay with him through thick and thin, through hell and foul weather. Don't you desert the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't desert him. Let me read you a hymn I was thinking about. I think it's in 378. It says this, stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up, stand up! That's what I'm talking about. Stand up! Stand up for Jesus. His trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not belong. Remember that. The strife, the trial, will not belong. This day, the noise of battle. The next, the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? Do you really believe in Him? Then stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Don't desert Him. Don't abandon ship. Stay with Him. Stay with Him. Believe in your heart that God is all sufficient. Notice in this 32nd verse where it says, every man to his own and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone. He said, the Father's with me. But I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Well, you remember that. You're not alone either. When trials and troubles and difficulties, whether they be from the outside or the inside, whether they be from agnostics or infidels or atheists or the sarcasm of a so-called believer or unbeliever, don't you get all huffed up and puffed up and say, well, now, this is more than I can take. Nobody stands with me. I'm by myself and all. No, I don't. But he's with you. I'll never leave you. That's what he said. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be of good courage. Be not dismayed. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never do it. You may forsake me, but I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. All right, every man to his own and shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, he said. I'm not alone. The Father's with me. And you're not alone because the Father's with you if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Job said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. He said, though he kills me, though God kills me, I'll still trust him. Could you do that? I hope I could by the grace of God. I hope I could say that. Hope I could say, it is His to do as He wills. It's mine to trust Him. Let Him do what He wills. I'm still going to trust Him. I'm still going to believe in Him. He's still my Lord. He's still my King, even though He killed me. He's still my Lord. Can you say that? Well, listen. You remember now, you might have this trial. Trouble's going to come. Does not the Scripture say that man that's born of woman is full of trouble? Full of trouble. I haven't had much trouble in my life. I've had some trouble. But I can honestly I can say this, that my life has been more sunshine than it has been cloudy or wintry weather. I've had more sunshine than I have had the other kind. I've had more good days than I've had bad days, but I've had some bad days. And what I say may be true with you. But I can say this. I do know there is days when trouble will come. All of us are going to have some trouble. Going to have some trials. Man that's born of woman is full of trouble. You've got lots of it. And you're no exception. I'm no exception. Your flesh or my flesh. We're all subject to it. That's the reason I want you to pay attention to this trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is left alone. You may feel like you're left alone. But you're not alone. You feel like, well, I've got some trouble. Well, let me tell you, you might have some trouble, but I want to tell you, it only lasts for an hour. Only lasts for an hour. That's what our Lord says. Behold, the hour cometh. Excuse me. And it's now come, just an hour. The hour comes when I'm going to have some trouble. Just an hour. It's not a year. It's not a month. It's not even a day. But it's an hour. Just an hour. An hour. That is an hour in light of eternity. Let me read something to you over here in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians. Turn with me. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at this. Keep this in mind. When trouble comes, It will not last long. Only an hour. Not a year. Not a month. Not a day. Only an hour. Only an hour. Our trial is only for an hour. Surely we can endure these trials that come upon us that only last for an hour for the honor and glory of God. Surely we can. Surely we'll not fly mad if someone says something to us that is maybe unbecoming. Surely if someone insults us or hurts us, surely we'll endure. Surely we got enough grace that we can smile and say, well, if it's the will of God that this come upon me, let it come without retaliating, without making a response to it. Surely we can do that. Surely if it's only an hour, if it was for 6 months or 6 years or 60 years, that'd be something different maybe. But he said it's only an hour. Surely you can endure anything. Pain, trials, troubles, whatever it is, but only lasts an hour. Surely you can endure that, can't you? Huh? For Christ's sake, he endured, didn't he? For your sake, looks like you could endure for him's sake if it's only an hour. Now look at this over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, that though our outward man perish, that is, this tabernacle of flesh, it perishes, yet the inward man, yet that which is true, that which is real, that which is genuine, that which will last forever, that which is the most important thing we've got, our soul. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now listen, for our light affliction. What did Paul call a light affliction? He was beaten with 40 stripes a couple of different times. He said that was a light affliction. Paul was down to Philippi preaching one time, and some people got offended with what Paul was saying. And you know what they did? They knocked him down, and the crowd gathered around. They got a bunch of stones, and they stoned him there, and they thought he was dead. Maybe he was dead. I don't know. They took him by the heels and drug him to the outskirts of the city. They thought he was dead. They stoned him with stones. He said, this is a light affliction. That's what he said. It's just a light affliction. Is that what he said? But our light affliction, which is but for 6 months, a year, 2 years. No, it's for a moment. It's just an hour. It's not going to last long. See what I'm driving at? You have some trouble, some difficulty. Endure it for Jesus' sake, because it won't last very long. It won't last long. Well, you say, well, what if someone slanders my name? Well, it won't last long. And probably told the truth about you anyhow. What if he told the whole truth? I often think about that. You know, folks say, well, preacher, he ought not to have said that about you. And I think in my heart, sometimes I say it. Well, boy, I'm glad he didn't tell it all. Thank you. I'm glad he didn't tell the whole truth about me. Listen. Our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. These afflictions, which are just for a moment, just fleeting, they work for us, he says, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He calls them a light affliction, a light affliction. Well, I hope this has been some help to you. Do you now believe? Huh? Do you now believe? Say, I believe now. Well, everything's going well now. Everything's fine now. The sun's shining. The sun's shining. The weather's warm. Your sail is full. The coffers are full. Everything's going well. You're healthy. You got a good job. Your wife loves you, and your children love you and respect you. Your children have good jobs. They're all going to church on every Sunday morning. You look around, you say they're all here. They're all gathered with me. Boy, I think, but wait a minute. There may come a time, I'm not saying it will, there may come a time when things won't be as rosy as they are today. Things may be stormy and cloudy, and trials may come. And it may be that you be left alone. What are you going to do then? Are you just going to wilt? Are you going to dry up like the leaves do in the summer, and when the wind comes, blow away? Are you going to do that? Or are you going to stand up for Jesus? Are you going to stand up and be counted? So I sink or swim, as for me in my house. As for me. Can't control my house sometimes, but as for me, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in the Lord. See what I'm saying? Do you now believe? When the trouble comes, just for a moment, it's only for a moment. You can do it. You can take it. You can stand anything. You can stand anything for a little while. You can stand for a man to take a knife and cut you open without any anesthetic for a little while. You can stand. You may faint. It may just black out, but you can take it for a little while. I don't say you can stand there under that knife and do it for a month or a week or even 24 hours, but for a little while, you can stand anything for Jesus' sake. That's what I'm saying. For Jesus' sake. That's what keeps me keeping on, don't you? Huh? Do it for Jesus' sake. There's not too much rewards here. I mean, I don't have people busting the door down at my house congratulating me on what a fine fella I am or what a wonderful preacher I am. I don't have none of that. I have just the opposite than that. Criticism. I get that. Get more of that than I do anything else. And you do too.